Welcome to another edition of the Puro Pinche Primos.
Hola, primo, primas. We are back. We are the Puro Pinche Primos. I'm your primo, Luis Velasquez. That is your primo, Christopher Costello. Here we are, Chris. It is March. It is March Madness time. One of the craziest 2 weeks of the year in sports. I love it now, especially I'm retired. Like, I just have the games on all day, right? And I just get engulfed in it and get, like, crazy. Like, I feel like a nerd analyst going into this. I'm sorry, I just started going. How you doing, people? How you doing before we start? How's it going?
No, all good, man. I think this is, like, I know that this is the for you where you get you're like diving in paper. I imagine you like with multiple screens, multiple stacks of like paper. I don't know why you would still be using paper at this point, but you do in this imaginary sequence that I think. And all of those stacks of paper are just like endless stats of different combine stats, different NFL possible like trades. Like your whole thing is like in paper and you're just watching TV nonstop. And then I like also imagine like hungry kids like screaming your name, but you have like headphones on and like they're just sitting there waiting for you, and then you throw like chicken fingers at them.
That's pretty much. Spring break starts tomorrow for these kids here at this household. They're gonna drive me up the wall. I'm already regretting it. Damn you, teachers. Why do you need a week off, huh? Why? You're about to have a whole summer off. Keep these kids for another week.
So the kids get a weekend Thursday, Friday?
Yeah, they get a weekend Thursday, Friday.
Beautiful.
That's not bad.
Shout
beautiful.
Out to those teachers.
Nah.
I'm so happy for
F that. That's crazy. Great talk. Anyway, people, let's get into this now. Let's bring back an oldie but goodie. We haven't played this game in a long time. We've had a bunch of our fans reach out, say they want it back. So back by popular demand, it is the... That was the wrong button. It is the...
The Wheel of Chingadera.
That's right. It's the Wheel of Chingadera. It is back by powerful demand. We've got a couple great topics in here, primo. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go. Let's see what the Wheel of Chingadera brings to us today. Let's talk football. Steelers QB room. Primo, last year at this time, the Steelers QB room had Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and who's the new Tennessee Titan backup quarterback? Mason Rudolph. All right. White as white can be. All right. No melanin allowed in that room. And now all of a sudden... So much melanin in that room. All right, you've got... I almost saw Russell Simmons. You don't have Russell Simmons.
Not Russell Simmons. At some point soon, it looks like Russell Wilson might be throwing like Russell Simmons, but... I would think that Mike Tomlin is just like... I would imagine that he has no idea how he got this like great luck that he has now in that quarterback room to have Russell Wilson and now Justin Fields.
Justin Fields and Russell Wilson in this quarterback room. Crazy. I think automatically like at least three more wins are added to their win total from last year. Now, the question I have is they went out and they got Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson seems excited, like he's coming in. Is he excited to have Justin Fields in his locker room?
No, not at all. Excited? No. Motivated? I would hope so.
I heard somewhere they were like, when he heard about that trade, he let out the longest gosh darn it ever heard.
Yeah.
He was like, gosh darn it.
You know, what's interesting to me about this whole thing, obviously those two big names, but is Kenny Pickett because I don't know if this is someone throwing him under the bus, but I don't imagine it is, because it's happening too often, that it's like, what is Kenny Pickett's problem that he thinks that he has it good enough to be complaining openly to like either a GM or an owner or whoever it is, that especially that it keeps leaking, right? Like,
yeah.
But I'm wondering if Kenny Pickett is just dumb enough himself to tell the media himself that he said these things. And then we know Tomlin doesn't play.
Yeah, he doesn't play that. Yeah, and the fact that they shipped him off of somewhere where he's definitely not going to get playing time. Like, I would think, like, you bring Russell Wilson in, okay, Kenny Pickett, like, you may need a year, right? Like, you seem like a quarterback who needed a year, maybe 2 years, to figure it out. Learn under Russell Wilson. Like, if anything, Russell Wilson is prepared. He knows how to prepare, right? He knows how to study film. He knows how to be a professional quarterback. Learn from him. Don't be discouraged by that, right? Use that opportunity to, hey, this is going to better my game. But you go and complain. You probably say, Kenny Pickett doesn't seem like a gosh darn it kind of guy, right? Probably said some words. And then, hey, okay, fine. We will ship you off to Philly, where you're definitely not going to play, right? You're definitely not going to go in there and compete for a starting job. And then we'll just bring in Justin Fields, who I believe real quick that I would say by week 5, week 6, like, they're going to see what he's got, right?
I can see that. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, it's a win, especially like now you're paying $1.2 million for Russell Wilson, right? I think you're paying like maybe $5-6 million this year for Fields. And so, like, you can spend money now, right? Spend money, get some receivers, get an O-line, because that O-line was horrible last year. I think it's crazy that the difference between last year and this year's quarterback room. Kudos to Steelers. Shout out to their fans. I know they got to be hella excited.
Yeah, I think only good things can happen from this thing. I think in that quarterback room, though, I can see that Tomlin is trying to decide how much longer he's going to be the Steeler head coach, because now the promise of Justin Fields can extend his career by at least another 6 to 8 years as a Steeler coach. Where we thought, right, like, he might leave. We were even saying, like, I hope the Titans get him if he, like, goes anywhere. Or would he be a successor to someone else? Like, it's hard for me to see any Steelers head coach be a head coach anywhere else. But I don't know that Tomlin isn't going to just end up retiring there now after getting Justin Fields, because like you said, they can spend money and they can go get like actual weapons and receivers. And don't forget that they still have Najee Harris.
Yeah, they
do. He himself had complained about the offense and now kind of doesn't have like a reason. And possibly, like, is that something that they wanted to solidify Najee Harris staying a Steeler by making sure that they got him a quarterback that he would respect? Yeah. Either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields.
And they got a new OC, right? Old Atlanta's head coach, old former Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator, is now their offensive coordinator. Yeah, they got a bright future. This could kind of, like you said, keep Tomlin around a little bit more, kind of like what Wemby's doing to Pop. Like, you know, Pop obviously want to stay around, unfortunately, for a couple more years. But yeah, it should be good. Shout out to Pittsburgh. All right, let's move on. Next topic on the Wheel of Chingadera. Ooh, Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. Yeah, you heard that right, primos and primas. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson is a big boxing match coming out this summer on Netflix. It's crazy. What are your thoughts, Primo? I can tell you, like, I can tell by looking at your face, you kind of have the same thoughts that I do about this fight, quote-unquote boxing match. Is it something you're going to watch? And two, are you excited to watch it?
I'm excited at the great possibility that Jake Paul gets knocked out. I think he should be very concerned, because I think that in just seeing how he went about like the Mayweather thing, that I feel like he got this deal with Mike Tyson, thought Mike Tyson will play ball and do this for entertainment, and doesn't realize that Mike Tyson was like baiting him to pay him to whoop his ass. And I think we're going to find that out really quick. And I think he is going to land some shots on Mike Tyson, but I think Mike Tyson is too far gone to even feel those at this point. We'll knock him out. So I think I'm probably going to watch the replay, but I don't think that I'm going to be fully invested in like paying for it, watching it live, any of that stuff. Like, this is not.
Yeah. I think I'm not like I might watch this because it's on Netflix and I already have Netflix, right? I don't got to pay extra for it, so I'll have it on. It's one of those things where I'll have it on here in the back room, and watch it. Just, you know, it's just something that, you know, you're gonna want to talk about. You're going to see again. You're gonna want to see Jake Paul get knocked out. I don't know if I'm gonna see Jake Paul get knocked out. Mike Tyson is 57 years old. He does look good and powerful hitting these bags, I'm sure, right? Yeah. But that is a 10-second clip, right? How is he gonna look 3 minutes of getting punched, 3 minutes of moving around? I don't know.
Do you know how many rounds this is going for?
This is scheduled for 8 rounds.
8 rounds, okay.
8 rounds. And I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I don't like it at all. I hate Jake Paul. This last fight that he had was in Puerto Rico. He claims to be the next big Puerto Rican fighter. Like, he pissed me off so bad in this last fight, right? Because he just going on, like, he's used the tack breaks of that Puerto Rico is doing to help to gentrify Puerto Rico, right? And Puerto Rico's giving this big old tax breaks to these rich people to come in, and so he's taken full advantage of that, taking away part of land from our people, from our primos and primas, and then he had the audacity of having this fight in Puerto Rico, claiming that he's Puerto Rican, saying he's the next big Puerto Rican fighter. Like, oh man, like, I wanted to go out there and punch him myself. But, like, this is a show. And unfortunately for boxing, like, this is where boxing is at right now, right? This is just, there's not, this is where boxing has got. And I don't even know if these fights are legit as far as, like, who's getting paid off, who's not getting paid off. Is Mike Tyson getting paid off? He's had some money problems, right? Did Jake Paul just say, hey, here's a bunch of money. If you take this fall... Like, that's a big possibility. But hopefully not. And hopefully Mike Tyson knocks the crap out of this dude. But I'm worried. Like, I hate what it's going to look like in the long run for Mike Tyson's legacy. What if he does get caught? Right? What if he does get knocked out by Jake Paul? Like, it's not going to look good for him and his legacy moving on.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the one more topic on this Wheel of Chingadera. Here we go. NBA all-time greats right now in basketball. All right, so I've added this topic into the Wheel of Chingadera, and you're probably wondering why. I heard, I think it was Up in Smoke, they were talking about this, and they were kind of talking about just where NBA basketball is right now. And so I want to kind of elaborate on this topic and spend a little bit more time on this topic. There have been plenty of women's college basketball games that have beaten NBA basketball games when it gone toe to toe, right? The I think it was the LSU South Carolina game went against it was like I think it was Boston Celtic Miami game, and mm-hmm. that women's game killed it as far as people watching it. It killed the NBA game. Right, nobody wanted to watch the NBA, the Miami Heat, Boston, and then I think it was the Caitlin Clark game where she broke the record, had more viewers, and then I think it was Milwaukee and Denver, which should have been a big game for the NBA, but it got outbeat by Caitlin Clark, and so that so anyways. That was the start of that conversation. And then they went to NBA has a problem because their stars are getting older and they're not really building up the new stars. And then they went into the conversation of exactly how many NBA all-time greats are in the NBA right now. And I shot this text message to you and you're like, oh yeah, well, there's a lot. And I was like, I don't really think there's a lot of all-time greats.
So this is actually, and then when you said that, I was like, oh, okay, I think we're thinking, this is my question. What definition are you using for all-time greats? Because in my head, the first thing I went to was first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think there's a lot of first ballot Hall of Famers in the league right now.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're all-time greats. Like, and I started thinking, like, well, does he mean like the top 10 or 20 of all right. time or top 25 of all time? Because in that case, that is a much, much smaller list. But when I think of, like, guys that are, like, automatic to the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
to me, there's a pretty good amount of them.
Yeah, there's a good amount. But that also has to do with, like, the Basketball Hall of Fame and just allowing everybody in, right? The basketball, to me, Basketball Hall of Fame is one of the worst Hall of Fames because it's not necessarily an NBA Hall of Fame. Yeah. And there's just a lot of crap. To me, It's the easiest Hall of Fame to get into out of all the pro sports. All right, when I talk yeah. about all-time greats, to me, on the top of my mind, you've got LeBron James, of course. You've got Steph Curry, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Is there any more all-time greats that you can think of right now?
That are in the league right now.
They're playing right now. NBA all-time great. Like, is Chris Paul... I know we hate on Chris Paul. Is he an all-time great, though?
Okay, so again, how...
Let's go top 25. Top 25 of all time.
Top 25 of all time.
Yeah.
All right. Let me think. I gotta look at... I feel like I have to always look at, like... the list of teams, because then that'll pop out. So I'll give you two that are going to go down as all-time greats. Giannis.
Yes.
And Jokic.
Joker, yeah. Are they all-time greats right now?
No, but they would have to be like very seriously career-ending injuries for them to not get there. Even if they drop off now, like if let's say this year is their prime and then they just have a fall off for the rest of their careers,
yeah,
they'll
yeah.
still be an all-time great.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would have to be like
top 20?
Those two? Yeah, I think so. Because I'll tell you this, I'm going to give you some quick names, because we know that part of being an all-time great is you have to be an all-time scorer, right? Uh-huh. And you brought up a great question right now in Chris Paul. Chris Paul, I do think, is an all-time great. Is he an all-time great of the number that you just brought up, like 25? No. He is not a top 20
yeah. all-time. But he's probably top 4 point guard of all time? Top 5 no. point guard of all time?
No.
No? No.
He's probably a top 5 facilitator of all time. Assist man, if you want to do that.
Yeah, isn't that?
Because I'll give you an example. Jason Kidd is one of the greatest of all time. He's not a top 5 point guard of all time.
Jason Kidd is not?
And to me, Jason Kidd is better than Chris Paul.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
I would rank him higher.
Let's go. Top 5 point guards. Magic?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Steph?
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah?
I would probably Stockton over Isaiah, but Isaiah maybe.
Yeah, Isaiah.
Oscar Robertson.
Stockton, Oscar, that's five.
Done. You know what I mean? Like the list is too small. But let me give you some names of the... These are the top 25 all-time scorers.
Okay.
And here's some names that I know that we can immediately take off the list. Especially if we're talking about, like, let's say, just who you just brought up.
Oh, yeah.
KD, who's already on that top 25 scoring list. But right. Giannis and Joker, right? Here's some guys you can remove that I believe they're going to end up higher than. Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
Alex English.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook.
Ooh, Vince is he all-time great? Ooh. I forgot. Russell Westbrook. He's currently in the league.
Not top 25.
Not 25. Okay.
Guess who's number 20? On the all-time scoring list, and there should be statues of this man, James Harden.
Oh, shut the fuck!
I love that you never curse on this show. It's always me cursing, and I figured out the person that will get you.
That name would just get shut the fuck up every time.
Here's another one that they passed: Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Dominique Wilkins, Elvin Hayes. Carmelo Anthony.
Yes, sir. Shout out.
Dirk Nowitzki. Like, I think that Joker and Giannis are going to end up in that Dirk range of all-time greats. Because Dirk is sixth on the all-time scoring list.
Yeah, I think if Joker wins two more titles, he's top 10.
All time.
If Joker keeps this up, and he's
because his numbers are insane.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy.
And what's hard for me is like the when you try to start comparing guys from, like, I guess the like 2000, not even 2000, probably 2010. Like, we're looking at a different era from the last 15 years to the previous whenever the like 1980. Era when the three-point line was introduced, just on points alone, because we know the three adds so many more points to guys' all-time list. But aside from that, yeah, like I think he's gonna end up there. But anybody else that you can think of? All-time greats? Someone that I think is gonna end up being an all-time great is Luka. Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic, yeah, he's going to be there.
Yeah. But to me, you're right, and I think that's it. Like, the guys that you mentioned. I don't see anyone.
Let me ask you, do you think, and it's been a kind of a topic, and this is kind of off topic here, but does the NBA have a problem, right? Because it's losing viewership. The numbers are down in the NBA as far as viewership.
Yeah,
I think it's going to shoot back up during the playoffs. To me personally, I think a lot of the I'm not sure how much these NBA players care about regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It feels like they're just kind of going through the flow. I think I like the play-in game. But, like, there's so many teams in the playoffs. Like, half the league is in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So, everybody is just kind of, like, doing... Let's just make it to the eighth seed, and then we'll turn it on. Kind of like the Miami Heat, right? They don't... They're just coasting along. Everybody's coasting along. And it just seems like kind of the same thing that we're talking about during the All-Star game. It's like nobody really cares about these games. And nobody is. Does the NBA have a problem?
I think that I don't know that I would call it a problem, but they do have to be continuously creative with how they're keeping, and obviously fans engaged, but I feel like they need to figure out how to keep teams engaged in this style of play, right? T- teams also know that they don't have to play 48 minutes, just like you're talking about not having to play a whole season. They know that they can get down 20 and still come back and win a game. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Because it means that there's not like a full investment in every single play, where when, even though it wasn't as entertaining and people were like, I hate these defensive games, those guys are playing hard every play, which is why they were getting so many stops and why the score was so low, because people care. And now we're seeing the complete reverse of that. Something that was really interesting to me the other day was that the Detroit Pistons organization gave out posters to fans at one of their home games commemorating the 20th year anniversary of their 2004 championship over the LA Lakers, where they defeated them 4-1.
Yeah.
Which was probably one of the greatest starting lineups ever assembled, and I love that they lost. Because that starting lineup consisted of Gary Payton, Kobe Bryant, Karl Malone, and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
I don't know who was the three on that team. It might have been like a Rick Fox.
Yeah, I think it was Fox.
Lamar Odom or something like that, but no, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because those four were incredible, and the fact that they lost that badly in that series was incredible, and that was the beginning of the end of the Kobe-Shaq era, which was incredible as well.
Yeah.
But aside from all of that, what I wanted to bring up was just the fact that they gave out those posters, and that team was probably the greatest defensive starting five we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that team would hold other teams into the 70s. And for the league that we play in now, it's great to see that a franchise, particularly a really poorly run franchise and unsuccessful one like the Detroit Pistons right now, is yearning for a team that plays the complete opposite style of the league today. And I think that just like says so much about like the game and like what the NBA is having to deal with. But what was even better than that was that I believe it was Kendrick Perkins posted a picture of them, of that starting five walking off the floor, and wrote, this is my favorite, something to the effect of, this is my favorite starting five of all time. They can beat, I believe they can beat any starting five or any team in a 7-game series. And I just wanted to send back, except for the 07 Spurs,
right.
But, you know, I'm sorry,
05 Spurs. Yeah.
But, you know, we already know that. And so that's
the
that,
dynasty that enders. Spurs are the dynasty enders. Right. They ended that. They ended that dynasty. They ended the Miami Heat dynasty. The Lakers dynasty is also kind of, and we all know, and especially after watching The Last Dance, that we ended that dynasty because Michael Jordan didn't want anything to do with playing Tim Duncan and Dave Robinson. That's what I took out of The Last Dance.
I want to say two favorite moments of all time, sports moments. Watching the Spurs end the Lakers three-peat and Kobe Bryant crying on the bench, number one. And then the other one, just because it came up the other day with a friend of mine, was he talked about somebody getting punched in the face. And another second favorite moment is watching Chris Childs punch Kobe Bryant in the throat. So for anybody out there that is listening to this show now or for the first time ever, and you're wondering if Kobe is in the all-time great with the list of LeBron and MJ, I want everybody to know right now, at least from my end of things, you could say your own piece, but he will never be in the class of MJ and LeBron.
I agree. And then here's my argument to that. Every time people say Kobe, Kobe wasn't the best player in his time period. Tim Duncan was.
Thank you. He also wasn't even the best player on his own team for three of those rings.
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, may he rest in peace. All power to him and his legacy. He is Kobe Bryant. I still, to this day, every time I shoot, even my kids, every time they shoot socks into the basket, they say Kobe, right? He is a legend in that home. He just wasn't the best player in his time frame. Tim Duncan was, right? There was a back and forth, and there was competitiveness, but I always give it to Tim Duncan, right?
I say that when I read a sexual assault case article.
Kobe. Oh, anyways, going back to this, what I think we're in a transition right now, and I know I'm not sure NBA is doing a good job of of lifting up the up and coming stars, right? They're still relying on Steph Curry, and they're still relying on LeBron James, right? And I think that's why the viewership is low, right? When you look at the top teams in the NBA, Oklahoma City is the number one team in the West. Do the NBA promote SGA at all? Like, I don't think so, right? I don't see commercials. I don't see anything building up Shea at all. You've got Anthony Edwards, who just had the dunk of the year, all right? The dunk of the year. I've never seen a more powerful dunk where it knocked out two guys, right? It caused a concussion to one guy and then separated his finger on himself. But are they doing a good job of promoting Anthony Edwards, who should be a top-tier star in this league?
I'll tell you whose fault this is, that they're not promoting either one of those guys. Because I will say that both of those guys have a particular edge to them that reminds me of the previous, like, late 90s, early 2000s fears of promoting Allen Iverson, that they're too of a particular social, economic, racial class, right? Now, aside from that, I'll tell you whose fault this really is right now that those guys don't get the love they get. Ja Morant.
I was thinking the same exact
thing. Ja Morant's fault.
Yep.
The NBA right now has to play it so safe based on Ja Morant's, like, consistent idiot approach to things, and particularly around guns, right, which are so prevalent and particularly, like, lives and conditions of, like, people of a particular racial, social class, social economic class, that I think they're really scared to promote. And I'm just going to say it, dark-skinned black men who may not have grown up in the best environments. I'll say this, though, too. At least I don't know Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's, like, background and like, his family life or how he grew up. But I'll say this. I don't know if you remember draft night when Anthony Edwards got drafted. But he was in a house, and I remember seeing the people around him and being like, yo, somebody needs to get him away from those people immediately. And so that's going to be my own, like, implicit bias of what I saw. But these people did not look like friendly people.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, they didn't even look completely happy that he was drafted. They looked like we're ready to collect. And I was frightened for the young man. I was like, somebody please get him out of there. And if you also see just his demeanor, and he has a crazy, crazy story, man, of losing family at a young age. But I believe, like, both his mother and grandmother passed away before he finished maybe even high school, but definitely college. So I think that they're really scared. But those two guys are the league.
I was thinking the same as you were going through that, and before you even said John, like, he was, because he was the dude, right? He was the next one that was next. They put, you know, he was in all the commercials. NBA went all in on Ja Morant, and then he fumbled that back. I would say, like, to me, Anthony Edwards is not Ja Morant. The character that I've seen, he just likes talking mess, right? Like, he's a trash talker to the fullest. And I love that. You know me. I love that. And I love his personality. I think he can be the dude going forward. But also, like,
he will get an MVP, at least one.
Yeah.
And I think Shea Gilgeous-Alexander might, too.
I think that the fact that right now the best player in the league is who?
Not me?
Yeah, who's the best player in the league right now?
If I got to pick one guy, I'm still taking either LeBron or Steph at this point.
The best player in the league?
Jokic, to me, is the best player in the league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Joker, to me, is the best player in the league, and he doesn't want any shine. Like, I'm not sure he likes basketball.
He's not made for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't like basketball, right?
Yeah. He plays like he doesn't like basketball, and yet is extremely effective.
He looks like he doesn't like basketball.
Yeah.
Right. And then to me, The international stars are,
yeah,
they don't, they're really great at basketball, but it, to me, it's not all basketball, right? Like, they have a life, and they, like, Giannis is one, like, he said it before, like, I don't watch film, I don't do all that stuff, like, I'm not, basketball is not my whole entire life, right? And so it's hard to promote those guys when basketball is not their whole entire life. And it's just, to me, the NBA has a problem because I think the viewership is down because there's no real stars, right? And the good teams, yeah, right now you have the Lakers are ninth and the Warriors are 10th. So we're looking at a play game. An epic, like one of the most viewed ever playoff game that's going to happen between the Warriors and Lakers, right? But like, again, number one is OKC. You have SGA. Nobody really knows him. Joker's number two. You got Anthony Edwards number three. Number four, you have the Claw himself, who we hate to name. He definitely doesn't like the limelight, right? And they, yeah, just, you can't build on the stars right now. Let's go in the East. Tatum is not, he's a superstar, but he doesn't.
He just needs a ring. He needs a ring. I think if Tatum even just gets back to the finals again, he's going to become the face that they want. He's got all the things that he's in a storied franchise in Boston. Uh-huh. He's a nice guy out of Duke, right? So he's got a support system of coaches that have got him into the right place. He has the whole thing with his son, Deuce, that like is on at court side.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
he clearly loves and is a good father to. You know, he's got the story and the makeup to be what essentially is kind of what Steph Curry is. Outside of that, we talked about this in another episode. I think Giannis was a guy for them, and you just brought up like that he also seems like there's other things besides basketball. But Giannis has also become kind of a villain in this league to me, where he's not necessarily like being someone who, he doesn't like really smile in the same ways that he did before when he was just kind of this happy-go-lucky guy before he got a ring. So I think you're right in that they don't know which star to pick going forward. And I think that a lot of the really young, talented, uber-athletic guys are kind of a mess, man. Like, you have these guys in Houston that are also with Udoka. And they have, you know, like, they're like such a talented group, but they're all messy in different ways, that roster and that coach. And I would think that that's like the talent pool to pick from. Miami doesn't care about that stuff as far as a franchise and like making sure that they're like the faces of the league. So,
right.
Honestly, the guy that I think that they're really hoping and that why they gave the San Antonio Spurs, yeah, the first pick.
That was going to be my next point.
Because he's also got all the goods,
yeah,
to be the face of the league. And I think they're hoping that he does become that.
Yeah, I think the NBA needs the Spurs to win right away. I think they're going to have, it's going to have to go. If it's not Anthony Edwards, then it's going to be Wemby. And, but Wemby, again, he's got to be on a winning team. Right. And so, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I don't think there are definitely stars in the league. Definitely. Without a doubt, there are stars in the league. But, like, there's not any markable stars yet. Stars for sure. Absolutely. Like, each team, to me, it's each team in the playoffs has a star. Some of them have a superstar, but I don't know if anybody is really marketable yet. And I think that's hurting the game, and that's why it's losing viewership to a marketable Caitlin Clark, right? Yeah, Primo, let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk NBA playoffs. To me, the most impressive conference is the Western Conference in the NBA playoffs. 1 through 10, I really wouldn't like. I wouldn't be surprised if any of these teams, 1 through 10, would make the NBA Finals. You have 10, you have Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Going against number nine, LeBron James and the LA Lakers. That's going to be a crazy playing game if that's the way it winds up. Then you have 7 and 8, right? You have Luka and the Dallas Mavericks and Kyrie Irving, who is absolutely balling right now. Shout out to that last second play against Denver. Left-handed hook. That was crazy. That, I think that's underrated, especially since that happened the same night as Anthony Edwards' slam dunk. But that play right there from Kyrie was a freaking top play of the year candidate. But yeah, you would have Dallas going against the Phoenix Suns in another play-in tournament. And you know, KD and Book, for them to be, they haven't put it all together yet, but if they put it together, like, you're not surprised that they can make the NBA finals. You have right now, you would have Minnesota versus Sacramento in the first round. You have the Clippers versus New Orleans. Shout out to New Orleans. I haven't been paying attention to them. But they've been balling up.
Yeah, New Orleans has been one of my favorite, like, Western Conference teams when the Spurs have been down these last few years. And Zion is playing like what people expected.
Yeah.
Zion, right? And they got, and don't forget, which I thought was like an amazing pickup for them years ago, which was CJ McCollum.
Yeah, yeah.
Blew up the Portland Trailblazers. So those three guys, I didn't include the leading scorer, Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, CJ McCollum could all easily get you 25 each.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you can't forget the Primo Alvarado, who's out there.
That's right.
That's Alvarado. Yeah, yeah. And then you have, you know, first seed. Again, we talked earlier about OKC and SGA. And then right now, Denver, who is finally, like, again, we talked about, like, not being interested in the regular season. Like, they've obviously been coasting all along, and now they're to me, they're gonna get the one seed, right? I think they're like a game and a half behind OKC. They finally turned it on, and so you got the Denver Nuggets. Who is your, like, first off, just talk about the Western Conference in general, how crazy it is. You even have, like, Houston is only two games out of the 10th seed for a play-in game.
Yeah, and Houston plays hard.
Yeah, they do.
Right? Like, don't you know, like, Golden State needs to watch out that they don't, and LA, actually.
Yeah.
That, like, somebody's back doesn't get tweaked. Somebody's knee doesn't get twisted. Like, they lose a key guy for a couple of games, that can be the thing that knocks them out, because Houston will compete, and they're younger, so they will out-hustle you if you let them. And I do want to say that, like, it's clear that Udoka is a for-real coach. Right, like, I
think
he's proven that this year in his return. He's gotten that young team that just, like, almost like just didn't behave last year.
Yeah.
Now playing as like a full team and like clearly believe in each other, using each other's strengths. But yeah, Houston could slip in there if somebody isn't paying attention or also is not at their best.
Right.
But I do think that the key for Phoenix is going to be two guys that obviously we know, Booker and KD, but Nurkic and Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal has to be solid, and he has been actually for the past week. He's averaged about 22 and a half a game, but he's got to be solid throughout that playoff run, and he actually has had a bad back throughout this season. That happens at the wrong time or going into the first round. They could be bounced in the first round if they are not at, like, their full squad.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing, like, earlier, a couple of episodes ago, we were talking, we got scared, like, the Clippers, they finally figured it out, like, there can be, but here we go again, injuries are killing them. Kawhi Leonard is out with back spasms again. That seems to be a lingering issue. That right on time, right as the playoffs come, like, this is just who they're going to be, and so they're slowly slipping. They're up there battling for a second seed, and now they're who is it? The Pelicans. They say they're only, what, two? They're half a game behind the Clippers for the fourth seed. So
yeah, don't let New Orleans get home court.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then that really damages. Because this is the thing about the Clippers. If Kawhi is banged up and Paul George has to lead the way, that extra work is going to hurt him.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He's going to get hurt.
And he's going to get hurt.
And then if he's that way, guess who has to leave? James Harden. We know about his lack of leadership in the playoffs. Right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's just like a slippery slope for that squad. And then you're just going to have Russell Westbrook, like, yamming on people, but down like 30.
Is he going to be back, though, right? Should he? Because he's been, he had surgery a couple weeks ago. Again, just that team, and it's just old and hurt all the time. But, like,
I do want to say this as an upset alert. I know that's more college, but watch out for a really, really energized Domantas Sabonis and the Sacramento Kings take out an unexperienced and foolish team like the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, yeah. I like that idea. They have obviously a chip on their shoulder. People are overlooking them. They didn't have an all-star this year. Yeah, I agree with you. That's that. And here's what I'm thinking. Is this West, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised to see any of these guys go to the Western Conference Finals, let alone the NBA Finals, any of these teams. But these games, like, they look like they're going to – these series, I mean, they're going to go 6-7 games, right? And in the meantime, let's go over the Eastern Conference, right? And to me, the Eastern Conference is just not the Western Conference, right? You have 9 and 10 seed Chicago and Atlanta, like those.
This whole thing is between Boston and Milwaukee.
Right, that is it.
Let's just be honest.
Let's just go straight. It's going to be – to me, like, Boston is just coasting, right? If Milwaukee – they're playing better defense. Shout out to Doc for changing that defense around, right? It's going to come down to them. Also, Embiid, is he going to be back in time to make a difference in Philly?
Hopefully so. It's important for basketball that he is.
Yeah.
But because he didn't have just one injury. He had multiple injuries that were holding him back. And remember that he's got it's a lower leg injury.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got, which is never good for an athlete.
Honestly, right? I would just shut him down if I was Philly. Like, just...
Yeah. Chop if they fall to the play-in, they should not bring him back for the
right,
play-in.
Right.
Like, then
and they're close.
Consider, like, just
the Pacers have the 7th seed. They're only a game behind.
They're tied.
Yeah. And so... Yeah, and ultimately it comes down to Boston.
I could also see Miami skipping Indiana and Philly and getting to that 6 seed.
I don't know, man. They've been playing like crap,
like,
too. Yeah, Miami's been playing like crap, too. It took a buzzer beater by Bam to beat Detroit the other day. They're just not, like, nothing excites me about the Eastern Conference playoff. Nothing. There's not a matchup. Just fast forward it to the Eastern Conference Finals, where I get Milwaukee and Boston. And even then, like, I think Boston has just been the overall dominant team.
Yeah. They clearly are coasting, and particularly, like, I think in certain nights, taking nights off.
Yeah, yeah.
But the big thing that stands out to me is that at home, they're 32-3 at home.
Yeah.
And usually when we see a team dominate like that at home, it means they're on their way to the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not winning, but they're going to get to the finals.
But here's the thing, like, and I was just saying, the West may beat each other up, right? The West is may beat each other up as Boston is over here. Like, I see a first round sweep, right? I maybe even see a second round sweep for Boston. They're not going to have anybody competitive until the Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to be well rested. Meanwhile, the gauntlet that the West has to go through.
Yeah. If it remains New York and Orlando in the 4 and 5 slots.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of who's at home or not, and that's who Boston plays in the second round, I could see them sweeping Orlando, and I could see maybe the Knicks stealing one. But you're right. Like, they could be in the Eastern Conference Finals in just 8 or 9 games.
Yeah. They may have, like, 2 weeks off before the fucking finals, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I can't wait. We're just a couple more games away. Here's something off topic that we've kind of talked about before, but I heard it again today, and I just want to, like, should Wemby be winning this Defensive Player of the Year competition? Like, It is outrageous.
Yeah.
When you compare it to the last couple of winners, right? Like, he's already beaten all of their stats. Every single one for the last 10 years, already this night, like, his defensive stats surpassed them big time.
This is the real issue that I think the NBA is going to have, right? Number one is that they're, you know, we all know how this works, is it's like, he'll win plenty, give it to the other guy. But right. This is the thing. Rudy Gobert is a center.
Yeah.
So you're not going to put Wemby on the first team All-NBA if you give this to Gobert?
Right.
And that's the real issue, is like, you know he's first team All-NBA.
No, he's over Gobert. But Joker's going to be the center for first team NBA. He should be second team. Like, there's not. Are you talking about all defensive NBA?
Well, because the favorite to win all deep. Yeah, no, all defense.
Okay. Yeah.
All NBA. Yeah. Sorry. I think that the clear thing is that Wemby should be first team all NBA defense. But if you're going to give it to Gobert, then what do you do there if they're both in the same position?
Yeah.
And I think that's like the true like conundrum that they're in.
And shout out to that Wemby quote where he was like, "Nah, go ahead and give it to him. Just let him know this is his last time."
Exactly. And so this is what's interesting, and I just want to bring this up about Wemby. Obviously, we're both biased, but I do think that this is a major important point. That's a difference between someone like a Wemby and an Anthony Edwards, both up to be the face of the league. Wemby articulates trash talking in a way that is still not necessarily verbally disrespectful. Anthony Edwards does not know how to do that.
Yeah.
Right? And I love him for it because it's like more authentic. And yet, it's not NBA media face ready.
Yeah, and also I would say this. Wemby, to me, is a competitor. And he competes at everything. Just think, him and Rudy Gobert have a really good relationship, right? They're both Frenchmen. Gobert has helped Rudy a lot when he was younger. You know, he's been a mentor to him. But Wemby was like, "All right, bro, like, this is your last." You know, he's still talking that mess. He's a competitor. And I'm not sure Anthony Edwards is quite that competitor yet that Wemby is. And so when I talk about regular season mattering and the All-Star game mattering, it's crazy. I think Wemby, to me right now, Wemby should be the defensive player of the year. Honestly, he should just be the defensive player of the year. Anyway, to wrap that up, Primo, I think, Wemby, to me, honestly, Wemby should be defensive player of the year. I think I understand the talk about him not, you know, the team's defense is not that great. But just the stats, like the individual stats of him compared to anybody else, it's not even close. It's well, like, at this point, like, who are you fooling that he's not the best defensive player?
Yeah, Wemby has to be considered that. I think wherever they place him at the end of the year in, like, accolades or, like, particularly, like, all-NBA defense teams, like, they're going to have a problem with him and, like, where to place him if you're trying to not reward him for being on a bad team.
Yeah. I mean, he's a freak. He's an alien. We all know it anyways. Yeah, Primo. But anyway, that wraps up our our episode today. Did you have something else you want to talk about real quick at the end? Are we good? We good? I think we're good. We're good. All right. Yeah. Anyway, that's our episode for today. That's your Primo Luis Velasquez. No, I'm your Primo Luis Velasquez.
Yep.
That's your Primo Christopher Costello. And we are...
And we're going to get some sleep.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Sleep is good. We are out.